Anyone glad they came to church today? Oh, yeah. So good, hey? Most people are coming dribbling back in from holidays. Still a few away, but looking forward to hearing the message that Jonathan preaches next week. Will you all come and cheer him on? And also, late news, because Carly and Emma and the team, I actually went down there one night and I thought, I'm so glad I don't have to stay. I'm cheeky, aren't I, Carly? But, and we even had 2 leaders from Freeway Church, right?
We actually had an extra 2 come on 2 different days and nights.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just had these extra helpers that, I mean, God is good. And why was I saying all that? I can't remember now, but the good news, yeah. So the late news. So next weekend, we're going to have in the foyer a spa. Not for you, but to baptize. Now, Emma said this morning, it looks like there's about 12 more children. So that's, if that happens, let's just, can we pray?
Yes.
That's 20 children from the camp. Who thinks the camp was worth it?
Yes.
Come on, we're making disciples. We're making disciples. We don't want to just do things because it's fun. Well, we do. Fun's good, right? But it's nice to have purpose in life. It's nice to have a cause. And so that's and so I'm saying this, if you have never been water baptized, fully immersed in water, please see or ring the office or see us afterwards. Go to the bookshop, talk to Pastor Helen. Helen, give everyone a wave. If you'd like to be water baptized, do it next week. Makes sense. We're clear. So if you've never been water baptized, fully immersed in water, if you're scared of water, we'll look after you. I'm not saying that. I know that some people maybe not can't swim. Please don't put it off for that reason. We have a lot of different cultures here. So I'm just saying that we will look after you. We haven't lost anybody yet in Africa, and that's in the ocean. So if you need to get baptized, it's going to be okay. Is that okay? All right, so that's next week. Today, let's put up my first slide, please. I want to talk to you today about, it's just a blank slide, is it there? I want to talk to you, what happened to it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it sort of steals all my beginnings, that does. No, forget it, it's too late. I had a blank. Did you think that I didn't want that slide?
Well, I thought it was a mistake.
So I got a.
You know.
All right. So now that all the thunder's gone out of my whole start of a message. It's called communication. I'm just picking up rubbish. Okay, so I want to talk to you today about nothing. If God can bring life to all things, can He do something amazing? Can He do something incredible? Can He do something more than just ordinary? Can He actually do something quite amazing in your life if He can make something from nothing?
Yes.
And so I want to talk to you about the word nothing a little bit today. And so we have this the second slide, which is it's John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. It is there. It's back. Take me back. Take me back, AJ. Wake up. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. All right, so the Bible is clear. We can do nothing. Who's good at doing nothing? Anybody? Only half of us. I'm really good at doing nothing, I've got to admit. I think if most of us are honest, it's nice to do nothing from time to time. But I want to say something. I don't think God can do nothing. Bad English, I know, but we'll persevere with it. For with God, nothing is... We lost it, have we? We lost all the slides altogether. For with God, nothing is impossible. Luke 1, 37. Okay, so you and I can do nothing, but to God, nothing is impossible. God is always doing something. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's doing something. Mark 10, 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. If to God all things are possible, then to God nothing is impossible. What do we associate with nothing? Laziness? Couch potato? Mediocrity? Procrastination? Someone who feels defeated will often do nothing. Someone who feels quite depressed will often do nothing. We've all had these moments, I'm sure. You feel like nothing. You can feel like nothing if your emotional intelligence is low. And even if someone says something really nice to you, because your emotional intelligence is quite low, that you still think that you're worthless. Has anyone ever felt, don't put your hands up, but you have moments like that, right? We're not all crazy here, not today anyway. We're all blessed by the life of Christ. But it happens, right? We feel like, oh, I really mucked up there, or whatever it is. And so whatever the case may be, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to your neighbor and say, put your trust in him. He can deliver us from nothing. Nothing will make you feel worse than nothing. When we keep looking at men and what they expect from us, if we're, like I said, if we're feeling low, it's a terrible thing. It doesn't matter. And so, but when we go to God, turn to your neighbor and say, however bad you feel, go to God. When we go to God, when we reach out to Jesus, then he can do something with our nothing. And so, I thought I'd give you a sum this morning. 2 plus nothing equals? No, 2. I'm tricking you. 2 plus nothing equals? Nothing times 2 equals? Nothing. So if you have a sick plant and you do nothing, it will remain a sick plant. If you have a sick marriage and you do nothing, it will remain a sick marriage. If you have a sick plant and you continue to do nothing, it will die. If you have a sick marriage and you continue to do nothing, you may not have a marriage. And so, if your business is not going so well and you do nothing, it will get sick. If you multiply what you are called to do by doing it badly or doing nothing, you will end up with nothing. And so, church, if we are to choose to do nothing instead of something, nothing will be good or great about church. We have to do something. We can't do nothing. Who's been blessed at all by our worship team this morning? Who's been blessed by the people from the car park through into church? One of our visitors from up north who's here this morning just said, thank you for your staff. And I thought, wow, that's so good. Thank you, sir, Tony. Good to have you in church today, all the way from Denham. You know, it's so good that we are actually moving together to do something rather than... And so that's why Wellard is going to happen this year, because we're not going to do nothing when there's a need, and then we've already seen what God's done through this camp when we can do something. And so our high schools and primary schools start in a few weeks' time. Our story, our future. You know, having a facility that we need to talk about this in a few weeks' time, but having a facility so that we actually have equity so that we can do more things for God. That's an incredible privilege. Our leap into spring, our missions. Isn't it an awesome thing having just all the multicultures in our church, but also being able to go from nothing, because we had nothing 12, 13 years ago, to now multiple ministries across our globe. And so how we respond determines to a great degree the outcome and future of His house. Who'd like to have an even greater house? Is there anyone here?
Yeah.
You know, it comes from not doing nothing. And so, you know, let me just explain this a little bit. What currency are you going to trade in? Turn to your neighbour and say, what currency are you going to trade in? All right, this is not a trick question. It's okay. See, there's this guy with the five talents. And he was given them by his master, and we know that was the Lord, and he did something rather than nothing. He said, I'm going to put these five talents to good use. And those five talents grew and they became more so and they became valuable, yes? And then there's this other guy that was given two talents. He was a two-talent guy. And he actually decided, you know what, I'm going to invest the money, I'm going to do whatever I can. If he was in today's society, well, I'm going to put some into an interest-earning account, but then I'm going to put some into a business activity. I'm going to use what I have been given to actually increase rather than do nothing. And then there's the guy with the one talent, and he decided that, well, I'll just bury my head in the sand, pretty much. And God said, do I really know you? See, we can do nothing. What is God? Can God do nothing? So here's this situation. God wants us to do something rather than nothing with whatever little or much that we have. And so the currency of heaven is in cooperating with God. Cooperating with God. Who agrees with that statement? Some of us, we've got to cooperate with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, cooperate with God. See, in God's economy, nothing is impossible. Is that true? So wherever your life that you feel like nothing is happening, whenever in life it feels like nothing is happening, don't keep looking to your own strength. Look to Him. And so He can do something with all things good, and He can do something with all things not so good. He can do something with things that are really, really bad. And so he can do something incredible with nothing. Now, I'm building. I'm going to need your help with this message again. I mean, it's January. It's warm. But will you help me? Will you keep, if you're believing with me, just call something out, yes or whatever. Because I want us to get this morning. And I want us also, I decided just last minute that we need to do some serving forms at the end of this message so that we won't do nothing as a church, but we will be effective for him. Amen? See, God breaks all the rules. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. It was empty. It was nothing. And in the middle of nothing, God creates the heaven and the earth. In Job, it says, the earth hangs on nothing. That's the actual verse. The earth hangs on nothing. He hangs the earth on nothing. See, God can hang the entire earth on nothing. And if he can hang the entire earth on nothing, if out of empty space, out of actually nothing at all, seemingly nothing, if he can do that, do you believe that he might be able to do something powerful for you? Yes. It was a bit half-hearted. Do you think that God can do something powerful for you? Yes. And so when nothing is happening in your world, when nothing is happening in your life, he can do something. God can't do nothing. It's impossible. And so think about this. God took dust and he made Adam. I reckon I could take some dust and make some mud and throw it at you. I reckon even if I was a little bit cleverer, I don't even know if that's a word, but anyway, if I was more intelligent, I could probably put some heat on it and make some really bad bricks because I'm not very good with my hands. But I could probably get it, I could probably make some sort of brick. But what I find absolutely amazing is that God took virtually nothing and made you and I. And what I find even more incredible is that he took from Adam a rib and he made the most valuable commodity of all time. Come on, give the Lord a hand. God is incredible. Until I'm missing my wife. Tonight's the night. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's stay focused. You're bad people. See, God can't be absent. We can be absent-minded. We can be absent when someone's talking to us. But God can't be absent. Where can I go from... Psalm 139, I don't have it. Where can I go from your spirit or where can I flee from your presence? If you feel like you are being given the silent treatment by God, you have to go back to his word. You don't need anything else but his word. Turn to your neighbor and say, his word will do you good. See, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Phil Pringle says, Logos always trumps Rhema. You don't need a word, you need this word. The Bible. Oh, if I only just had something, if someone spoke to me. You've got everything you need right here. The written word of God. Let the weak say, I am. Let the poor say, I am. Let the blind say, I can. So God doesn't just do random good things. He is a good thing for you. It is who God is. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Who walk uprightly. And so God is good. In the beginning it was good, in the middle it was good, at the end it's good. God is good. So nothing to God is impossible. And so the stone was rolled away and there was nothing there. What does that mean for you and I? The stone was rolled away and there's nothing there. The stone was rolled away and there was nothing there because nothing was there. It was because nothing was there that Jesus existed. It was because nothing there was there at the tomb that we can be assured of our salvation. Because nothing was there, we can be healthy, we can be forgiven, we can have freedom from sin, because nothing was there. All because of what God can do with nothing. And one of the most central themes of the gospel message of Jesus Christ is that from nothing comes all life, all hope, everything possible, all the promises of God, they come from nothing. Only God is capable. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? See, certain things hold us in nothing. We can live in fear of what might happen and so we can do nothing. That's easy to do, right? If we're fearful about something, it's easier to do nothing. When you are fearful of nothing, you can guarantee that what is ahead of you. It's going to be so good. You see, but when you're fearful of nothing and you do nothing, you can guarantee that nothing good's going to happen. You see, just... I've got very little on me, except I did put $20 in my pocket. And I don't know this lady, but she's worshipping really well, and I thought I'd give her this $20 today. What? God bless you, sweetheart. What's your name? What's her name?
Tina.
Tina. That's for you. Now I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing left on me. Nothing. It's left my hand, but it hasn't left my life. Come on. See, Andrew and I, we deposit in the kingdom regularly. There's an investment through our tithes and offerings. And so even though I may have nothing, I know that there's a cycle of growth and blessing coming back into my life. If we invest in nothing, if we invest in those things that end up being nothing, and we don't invest in those things that God can create something from, then how can we actually expect God to do anything with what our nothing is? Is that true? You got to invest. You got to invest. You got to invest in the kingdom of God to get something back from Him. But we just talked about the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. If you just do nothing, then it actually says, well, do I actually know you? Tina, may God bless you today. You know, I'm going to pray that God just, I'm away tonight, but I'm believing that God's going to change your circumstances. I don't know anything about you, but God's going to change your circumstances around. That blessing's coming, that new life is coming, and those things that have been disappointing for you in the past, they're going to get better in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Boyd, for helping me out there. See, the fear of nothing makes people live their lives in a restricted way. But God says, Philippians 4:13, what does God say? Be anxious for? Be anxious for? Nothing. Now, I've said that last week that this is actually really difficult to do. I do find this really difficult. But there's a principle, it's his word, that we can be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is pro, here's the point, nothing. Is that right? Anxiety is pro, nothing. So we've got to be careful of fear because fear stops faith. Doubt stops faith. And if God can do something with nothing, he can bring the Saviour into the world. He can hang the earth on nothing. If he can make you and I from virtually nothing, he can do something with our life when we give something to him. And so the widow was actually commended by Jesus, not for the amount that she gave, it was so little, but it was her whole subsistence. It was her everything she had. It is what costs us. It's the things that faith are really made of that God never misses doing something with. We can live tight lives. Turn to your neighbour and say, don't live like a stingy person. Come on. But we will live like a stingy person. We'll be tight. I'm sure we all know a few of these people. But they're not here at C3 Freeman, all right? But we can be tight because we're actually fearful of nothing. We can live tight. It's a way of life, never branching out, living contained, living constricted. Or we can live by trusting God and he can do something supernatural in our life. Fears can be self-fulfilling. And the Bible says that the things you have feared have come upon you. When he spoke to Job, and he lost his family, there is definitely something about our fears can come upon us. If you get those thoughts, go straight to God and say, thank you in Jesus' name that I am not believing any of those thoughts because you're on my life. I'm bigger than that thing. I'm over that thing because I have Jesus in my heart. And we all have weaknesses in our life. But when we take those things to God rather than do nothing or fret about them, then he will use it so that you grow in faith and that thing is no longer an issue for you. Amen. Yeah, come on, give the Lord a hand. Gives me time to recuperate. You know, Simon Peter, he's out with his crew. He was the fisherman. He should know how to fish. He's the man. He's got all the boats. He's got all the fishermen that know how to fish. And they've been out and they catch nothing. But then Jesus says, can I get into your boat? Turn to your neighbour and say, let Jesus into your boat. See, whenever we let Jesus into the situation, whenever it looks like there's going to be nothing, but we allow him into the situation. And Peter even said to Jesus, you know, I don't think this is a good idea. And I don't think it hurts that much if we actually say, you know, Jesus, I don't know if that's a good idea. But at least get him in the boat anyway. At least try. Give him something so that he can turn that nothing. And the boat we know was capsizing. They needed all the other boats to help fill the load of fish. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. But if we do nothing, we can forget Splash Camp. If we do nothing, we can forget our missions program. If we do nothing, we can forget the building of this house and others like it. In particular, Wellard coming soon. April 3. And so, now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Turn to your neighbour and say, now faith is. For those of you who weren't here, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Now faith is a substance. Now faith is the evidence. God has made something out of nothing. We just need to believe, and God will actually give us an experience beyond what we think is possible. Amen? And so through faith, nothing becomes substantial. Faith is a substance. So through faith, that nothing becomes substantial. It goes, who's ever done this? I have. It's just something. Let's just use the illustration of Wellard. It was nothing 2 years ago. It was absolutely nothing. Wasn't on the radar. But then through various things and various people in church, there seems to be something happening. And there seems to be like people saying, well, why don't... In my heart, it was like, well, people are living down that way because it's cheaper and Fremantle's expensive. And I could have just gone, well, no, we need to build this house and make it even stronger. But the point is that maybe God wants to do something down there as well. Maybe he wants to take our nothing and make something down there. And then Jonathan and Sheila came to me, and I was surprised, to be honest, because God is amazing. I was surprised because I thought they were going to do something else. But God had other plans for their lives. Because from there, nothing about thinking about, well, am I actually going to lead a campus for Pastor Nigel and Andrea? It builds in our heart and it becomes substance. It takes root. And so, when we come into the house of God, we should be praising and worshiping him. When we come into the house of God, we should be giving of our money. We should be actually using our mouth and thanking God and using the words of the Bible to help us do life. In fact, we're going to do a Bible program together this year, and I'm going to talk about that on the 7th of February. And we need to give our time. Because nothing is impossible with God. And because we need to give our time, that's where who knows that with sacrifice comes blessing. I know it's a horrible word. But with sacrifice, who's glad that Jesus died for us? Anyone? Come on. Come on. He died for us. So if we can sacrifice an hour here, an hour there, or help with this, or help with that, then do you think that God could do something incredible from the little that we have rather than do nothing? And so, let's believe for our incredible year this year where nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Don't worry about tomorrow. Turn to your neighbor, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about nothing. Because with God, nothing is... Oh, I forgot all those PowerPoints. Nothing is impossible. Take a leap. Take a leap. Step out. And so, Father, today I pray that we would serve our Lord with all our might. And Father, that we would ask you, what is it that else, or what is it that we can do for you? And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who can't do nothing. And we want to invest in the one who that makes things possible. And our sacrifice, you're going to turn into blessing. The kingdom of God's going to grow. The church is going to expand. Lives are going to be transformed. Souls are going to come into the kingdom of God. Come on, start to believe with me this morning. There's things that are going to happen. Get pictures in your heart. Start praying them. For with God, nothing is impossible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.